He's been good to me this week. And taking into account circumstances and things that have already transpired, and just reassures my heart that he is good and his hands. And everything he's got is going to be to the benefit of his people, that it might gain glory unto him. But if you got your Bible tonight, I invite you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 35. You know, I've been kind of studying a little bit. I had a message on my heart, really, kind of coming out of Mark chapter 6. And then I've been kind of studying here and just the thought of that here on in Genesis chapter number 35. And Word of God says, "And God said unto Jacob, Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods that, which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were around about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob." Father, I ask you tonight to help me tonight. I ask you, Father, that you might place a hedge about me. I ask your help tonight, Lord. I ask your strength tonight, Lord, be poured upon me. And I pray, God, that you might, Lord, use me as your mouthpiece, not for glorification of myself, but that I might, Lord, glorify your name. I might magnify your glory, and I might magnify all these things, Lord, that have transpired in the past. And I pray, God, that you please help us, Lord, to be obedient unto the word and the call of God. And Father, I certainly thank you for one more opportunity that we can come together, that we can also worship one God and one God above all. And Lord, that we can so honestly say, God, that we certainly thank you for your watch care and your consideration toward us. And Father, we want to say thank you again, for it is in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been kind of studying on the idea which I've looked at here, where God told Jacob, he said, "Arise and go up to Bethel and dwell there." And I had a thought, there's some things we have to do to meet with God. There's some things that we have to do to meet with God and to dwell in the midst of God. And there's some things there. It says, "Arise and go up to Bethel and dwell there." In other words, that means arise and abide there. It's a place. That word "dwell" means to abide, as well as there's a habitation surrounded about. It encompasses that word habitation. It's a place to live. It's a place to dwell. It's a place to abide. And he says, "Arise and go up to Bethel," which that word "Bethel" there, if according to what I've read and studied upon, Beth means the house of, an El being God. It says basically, dwell in the house of God. Dwell in God's presence. Be in the midst. Abide in God's presence. Abide there. See, that's something today that we really don't take into account, because if you look further on in the Scripture there, you see, there's nothing mentioned in that first verse there about getting anything off. There's no command there, straightforward, but there's something implied there. It says, "Arise and go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother." And it says, and then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him,
put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean and change your garments. See, there's some things implied about being in the presence and abiding in the presence of God. There's some things that's implied there. There's some responsibility upon the people that's called there to be made in a certain way, to present themselves in a certain way. There's some things we have to do in order to abide or dwell in the presence of God. Now, I want to look at that for just a minute, if Lord help me, amen. It says, "But Jacob said unto his household, put all that were with him." He said, "Put away the strange gods that are among you." Well, I mean, granted, there's a multitude of people there. I mean, we don't really have an exact number, but there's a multitude of people with him. Not only his wives and his children, but his servants, man servants and woman servants, as well as his cattle. So there is a multitude of people there. He said, and it said, and to his household and all that were with him. So not only those that are directly affiliated or related to him, but those who were in servitude to him. See, there's some things, you know, not only you influence your home, but you have influenced those that are in direct contact with you. Now, granted, I can't command anybody that, you know, that's affiliated with me outside of my own family. I can't direct them, but there is an example that can be set before them that they can see that there's something different. Amen. So what we see here is God told Jacob that he needs to get back to Bethel. In other words, he says, "Arise and go up to Bethel." And sometimes I can't think too much on myself as far as sometimes I need to be in that same boat as I need to get back to the house of God. But all because of where it says, "Put away the strange gods that are among you." Now, whenever you see that, we automatically think on these old time gods. We think about Norse gods, and we think about all these other so-called gods, little g going on there. But we think about those kind of things, and we bring those to remembrance and things like that. Oh, we just put away from that. But it's not what that entails. I mean, in that day it does, but in reality it comes down to anything or any person or any, whether it be an inanimate object or anything or whatnot, if it will take your attention away from God, if it will take your mindset, your focus off of being able to dwell with God, I mean, it's just like me and my wife. If there's something else going to take my attention from her, and I can't have a good fellowship with her, it's going to hurt our relationship, and that's not necessarily the best thing to be as far as a marriage goes. But the thing about it is, whenever I'm married to my wife, I'm to dwell with her. I'm to be one flesh. The twain shall be one. In order for these things to happen in that kind of way, there's not going to be something that's going to put deride division in amongst you or your home or in your family. Now, it's the same kind of way right there with the house of God. If you're to dwell there, you're to put away those strange gods, those things that take the focus and take the minds and just captivate your mind. I'll just say this. When it comes down to TV, your cell phone, the internet, and I'm not knocking those things. Used in the right context, they can be a help. But more often than not, there's something. They're going to be taking your attention. They're going to be taking your focus. And anything that you do read or anything you do trying to study, every time you try to take something like this and put it in here and you start focusing on that right there, it's going to take and twist it and pervert it. And it's going to twist your mind and it's going to twist your heart. And it's going to do nothing but drag you away from God. Right. And there's no way to dwell with God if you are in that way. So in other words, when he says here, put away the strange gods that are among you. In order to put them away, guess what? You know, hey, I kind of practiced that a little bit tonight myself. And believe it or not, it's helping me. There's been times I actually, at my cell phone, I don't know how many times that I've seen it, and I believe it's been mentioned here before, here recently as well. I mean, how many people actually get so wrapped up, that's such a good service. Oh, time to go. First, I don't even make it out the back door. They don't make it out the back door and the cell phone is turned on and they're already wondering what's going on. And then they sit there and say the house of God is their mindset. That ain't right. They're captivated by other gods.
Right.
Think about this too. Sports. Think about that. In all honesty. You get to a point where you're collecting these sports memorabilia. You got your team jersey on there. Sometimes you got your what is it, them little old things you can rent on the TV, ESPN or whatever. You can download them things and sit there and watch games live all the time. Hey, I mean, and it's got a set time, a schedule, and every time you got to turn it on and watch it right then and there, right when it's going. Hey, that's captivating you, friend. That's taking your presence. That's taking the presence of God out of your life, and that's not your dwelling in Bethel. Think about it. Think on it for a while. I'm not trying to hurt you, amen. I'm not trying to get you out of place or mad at me. If that's how it is, that's all right too. But I just want you to see there's some things that will captivate your mind and captivate everything that you do. And it's actually centered around. If you don't stop and think on that for a little while, and make a list. If you have to, make a list of what you do and what you don't do, and see which ones glorify God. I said, well, I got up, I done this, I checked my Facebook, I checked this and I done that. I read about 10 minutes and then I done this and done that and then I done this and done that. Before I went to bed, I prayed. Oh, wow, I got a whole 30 minutes of time today just thinking on the things of God. What to do with the rest of the day? You can't dwell in Bethel if you're not in there. Amen. Think about it. I talked about these sports jerseys and things like that, and I'll get to that in a second too. It says, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments. You know, there's some things. It's not saying that you have to go out and buy the prettiest and most expensive clothes and things like that, but there is some things about putting on some clean clothes and making yourself look right and dress right before the God of heaven. There's something about that can actually draw you. Now, you think about that. And I'm not saying if a man is running out of work and he ain't got no time to change clothes, and I'm not saying that's an excuse to lay out of the house of God or nothing like that from hearing preaching, but I'm just saying there ought to be an effort shown that you're going to be able to want to try and clean yourself up and make yourself presentable unto the Lord of Lords and God of Gods, the Prince of Peace. And there's something about that. I mean, whenever me and my wife were dating, man, I tell you, there was something about it. I wanted to see her. I wanted to be with her. I had to make sure and put on, and sometimes I didn't. You know, she still picks on me about some of the clothes I wore, but that's all right. But there's some times that I needed to spruce myself up a little bit. I wanted to impress her. I wanted to be presentable to her, in order that she might want to be with me in the same fashion. And that means not necessarily that I have to go buy the most expensive clothes, but I have to be presentable. I have to be clean. I mean, there's something about it too. If you look over in Romans chapter 12, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's a picture right there of being clean. It says whenever it says there, it says to be clean and change your garments. There's something about it. That renewing of your mind. Whenever you think about that, if you relate that in a physical sense, I don't know about you, but after a hard day's work, you're sweaty, you're nasty, you stink. It's a good thing to go in there and get you a bar of soap and a little bit of hot water and wash the filth off of you. And it kind of rejuvenates you a little bit, don't it? But it's all right whenever you get those things that's in your mind. It's got you clouded. And it's got your mind off of the things of God. And you got your filth of the world all over you. It's all right to get out there and get cleaned up a little bit and put you some clean clothes on before you go to the house of God.
Yeah.
There's something to it, amen. Boy, howdy, it was just such a nice thing when I'd be dating her. I could smell that little bit of perfume or whatever she sprays on there. I mean, it was something, it drawed me. It drawed me. There's something about it. Whenever you get cleaned up and you come together in the house of God and there's that sweet incense of the Word of God, come in there and take a whiff of that. I mean, you know, I mean, and in the Psalms, and I can't remember exactly where it is, but I listened to a message the other day. Brother Eldon Mayo down in Louisiana preached. He says, taste and see. And there's something about tasting. There's something about taking in those things that God's put out before you. There's something about it just to be able to taste and see that God is good. There's something about that right there, just to be in the house of God and be in the presence of God. There's something about being clean and having some clean clothes and making yourself presentable unto God. If you're going to dwell in the presence and dwell in Bethel, you're going to dwell in the house of God, you're going to have to clean yourself up. There's some things that you'll have to get clean down here on the altar. That's why I don't know about you. You might want to read up on the idea and the concept of repentance. That's a daily thing. To repent is to clean. Amen. There's some things that you need to get a hold of and grasp there if you want to dwell in Bethel. I don't know about you, but it's awful nice when the power of God falls. And when the power of God comes on and just, I don't know about you, but I can feel it. It's just like a touchdown in my heart. And I mean, it's just like this wonderful peace just overflows and oversweeps you and overtakes you. There's just something about it. If you want to dwell there, you better clean up your act. You better get yourself together and get some clean clothes, get yourself presentable, and put away those strange gods. I want to know, how can you communicate? I mean, in all honesty, I mean, and my wife has picked at me, and I picked at her. I mean, how often or not you be having a conversation and you're a friend or your spouse is, I'm listening. In all honesty, I'm not trying to call out anybody because I know I'm not by myself. I've seen it when you go to restaurants. Husbands and wives sitting there and that's all they got in their faces. Their phones are just flipping up and down through there looking at, not saying the first thing to one another. They not. I'm not big on conversation anyway, but I'll sit there and listen if I can. But the thing about it is, I cannot have communion with you and be totally and utterly focused on you if I'm not sitting there looking you in the face. If I've got something else in my face and that's taking my attention. Yeah. But yet we come in the house of God with that kind of stuff in our minds. We've got those things just completely wrapped in our heads. And it's taking all of our focus and all of our attention. And we come in here and we sit down and I want God to help me. Please, dear God. I remember what the ball game was talking about. And this is what's going on in your mind. You think God's going to heed your call or heed your request? If that's literally what's going on in your mind? You know, I can say that because it's happened to me. I've been there. Yeah. Everything in the world, it could be something so small and insignificant to you in the fact that I'm just going to think on that for a minute right there and it just grabbed you. Next thing you know, 10 minutes later, you look up and like, where was I? Preacher done hit on about three or four points and you missed it all because something's grabbed your attention. Don't say you ain't had it happen because I do it on a daily. I'm not by myself, and I know I'm not the exact same thing as everybody else, but I got the same kind of concept. I still got the same flesh as you do. And I'm preaching to myself. I need God's help. I need your prayers to do the same thing. Amen? Amen. But we ought to be dwelling. We ought to be abiding in the presence and in the house of God.
I like this right here. It says, let us arise and go up to Bethel. In other words, that's an arise there. See, God told Jacob to arise. And there in verse number 1, it says, arise and go up to Bethel and dwell there. And again, in verse number 3, Jacob says, and let us arise. That word arise is an action word. So if you're going to dwell in Bethel, there needs to be action on your part. In other words, when it comes around Sunday, I don't know about you, but it always seems to happen on Sunday. My alarm goes off on a normal work day, man. I'm not bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, but somehow I find myself, you know, kind of rolling over, sitting up in the bed, and just, without contention. But yet Sunday rolls around, boy, you get about an extra hour or so of sleep on top of that. And sometimes whenever you might have it in your mind, I'm going to go to church, but boy, how did that bed seem so nice and comfortable and warm
is just so inviting. But the rest of the week, it's not quite as inviting. But it comes down to the things of God. It's just so inviting. It just seems like that it's just going to take some action on your part to arise. It's a little hard sometimes to get yourself in gear. Believe me, I know that. I hate going to work. I hate it with a passion. Not because it's work. I mean, I don't mind work. But just the fact that I know I'm in the midst of a God-hating people. They have no desire for the things of God. They have no desire to see God move. And I don't. It's filth. I don't like being in the midst of it. Because guess what? It rubs off on me. You ever tried to eat, put food on a plate and try to keep it clean as you eat? A lot of times that food that it's got on your plate tends to leave a little bit of mess behind, doesn't it? Guess what? Before you use that plate the next time, you've got to wash it. You got to put it away. You got to dry it. So the next time it can be used, it's clean. So in other words, whenever we see some things here about the abiding with God and being in the house of God and being clean and changing your garments, you're going to be out in this world. It's an ongoing process. You're going to have some times where there's going to be some filth and whatnot in this world that's going to rub off on you, and you need to get clean in order to dwell in the house of God. It's just an everyday thing. That's why we preach repentance as an everyday thing. That's why we teach about that. That's why we teach our children about how to dress right. I don't know about y'all, but I mean, I've got a good pair of tennis shoes I wear out and about, and I also wear on some occasions where it's dressed down a little bit. I wear my tennis shoes to church, but that's all they do. That's it. There's dress shoes I got. There's a purpose for them, and that's that I might be wearing those to the house of God. But there's a purpose in my garments, amen. There's a purpose. There's something about having some clean clothes and some clean garments to present myself to God. Something about it. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. You know, the only way they were able to dwell in Bethel was if they put that stuff away and they changed their clothes. And see, when I said arise, there in verse number 3, so let us arise and go up to Bethel. That action word right there, the actual layout, the actual outcome, verse number 4, it says, and they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods. Sometimes, I'm not saying you have to leave your cell phone at home and those things like that, but sometimes it might do you good to have some conversation on something other and what's going on out there in that world. Soon you come in the house in that back door. You know what? It might actually give you a good touch on your soul if you turn the radio off before you come on your way to church. Unless you're listening to preaching, something like that. When I say turn off that radio, don't lie to me. I know you listen to some of that worldly music. Everybody does. It's a little hard sometimes. You get in a store and get that mess going on in your head. It's hard right there not to turn that radio over to that same station. Listen to that same song. That was something that got a little upbeat, got in my heart. But you need to clean the plate. You need to clean out what's in your mind before you come into the house and you're able to dwell with God. And guess what? You're not going to sit there and praise God or sing God's hymns when you got the world's music going on in your mind. Put it out. It might do you good to sit there in a little bit of silence on the way to the house of God just to get your mind right that you might commune with God. Think about what you want God to do. It won't hurt you to turn that radio off or silence that cell phone for a little while. It might help you to do without Facebook for just a little while. I'm not hitting on that because God can use it if it's used in the right context. But I'm just saying sometimes you need to shut those things off and shut yourself off from the world just enough to where you can have a little peace and time with God that you can commune with Him and put away those strange gods. Because they captivate you. They take your focus. They take your attention. Don't think like that. I can see it in some of y'all's faces. Oh, dang, man. I know he's right. He's saying what he's right, but he don't like that to me. But I'm telling you, son, if you don't guard yourself, you will fall. If you don't go ahead, and maybe God just put this on, I don't know why. I really don't. I mean, I've been studying on it a little bit because I needed to be in that same kind of way, but God just laid it on my heart to do it. God help me. I want to dwell with Him. How often do we sit there and say, I want the power of God to fall. I want God to move. In all honesty, think about it this way too. I mean, in all honesty, if that's all in your mind, that's all there is, and it's just continually running and nothing. I mean, you might say, oh, praise God, that what He said is good. But if that's all that's going on in there, you might want to question where you're at with God. If that's all you are, if that's all you got, you better be questioning your position with God, amen. Because there's more to it. Because there's something always rebuking my heart saying, you ought not listen to that, you ought not think like that, you ought not talk like that. There's always something going on in my mind, and there's a lot of times whenever my attention's not focused on God, and my captivating thoughts got my mind constrained, sometimes them things right there seem to take hold, and that's all I can think about. Do you think I'm thinking on God when all that other mess is in my mind? Lord help. So maybe you might want to put away them strange gods. I don't know about you, but I mean, I like to sit in and watch a TV show every now and then. I'm not saying I'm right or wrong, but I can't help but wonder, is that helping me or hurting me? Is that captivating my mind and hindering me, or is it more or less helping me? I can't answer that for you. But I can give you an indication. What's the Word of God say? Some thoughts on that thing tonight. Just dwelling. I mean, and I'll listen to a message not too long. It's just the idea of dwelling in Bethel. And all I can say is it's hard to dwell there. I'm just striving to just get in there at 1 hour at a time. Shoot, sometimes it's hard enough just to dwell there 5 minutes. Yet alone living there, and that's really what it comes down to. When you're dwelling there, you're living there. You're living in it. You're staying in it. You're not straying from it, because your habitation is there. You're living there. And like I said, sometimes if your mind's captivated by all these strange gods, there's no way you can spend more than maybe a few minutes at a time. Because that's all it really comes down to. You got this man, I don't know about y'all, but I know there's always this the thing about people going on vacation. And men's got this little bag and women's got like a pile. Now, I'm not using that to be funny, but I'm just trying to say, if you, in that concept right there, if you think about that pile that's always being drug around, you know, I've seen men, it's got wallets, it seems like this thick, and I don't see how they sit without being cockeyed in the seat sometimes. It's just the idea of what they drag with them. Now take that mental picture right there. You got all that stuff that you're carrying around with you. Let's just put God right on top of all that stuff. But I got time for this, time for that, 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 and then, oh, when the time you get up here, oh, I got a little time. It's time to take and clear off the table. It's time to take and wipe all that mess away and just dwell in the house of God. I mean, here we are, people. Brethren, we're in the last, I see that more often now than I do. And it seems to get ever more present every single day. Whereas we talk about it and we sing about it, we've mentioned it from pulpits and stuff like that. It's just where iniquity shall abound, grace did much more abound. We've got grace, don't get me wrong, but we are in that time where iniquity is abounding. And that word iniquity is just in short is lawlessness. I don't know about you, but I see an awful lot of people who want to bend the law or twist the law or do away with it entirely. And it seems to be getting worse and worse, faster and faster. And we can't argue the fact that we're not dwelling in Bethel. Because if we were, the church would have a better standing today than what it does. The church would have more influence in today's society than what it does. So my message to you tonight is it's time to wipe everything that you got on you and dwell in the house of God. Have you really thought about that? And in all reality, I just want to pose that question. Have you ever thought about how much time you're devoting to God? You know, I've recently tried to experiment a little bit. I used to try and read before going to bed. Guess what? That's difficult because I get tired by the time I open that Bible. I have no energy in what I do read. I can't remember. So instead, I just take a few extra minutes in the morning now. And I've noticed some things. I might read one or two chapters in the morning before I do anything else. Granted, the first thing morning ritual, that is. But it's a common thing to know if you put God first. There's something about that. There's something about even in the military. There's some things and responsibilities about tidying up and cleaning up that they put in. And I've seen it in the military where the first thing when you get up in the morning, you're going to make your bed. You're going to clean up your area. There's something about that mental, I don't even know how you put it, that characteristic, that mental aptitude or whatever you'd have it. There's something about that that helps throughout the rest of your day. So there might be a little bit of help if you would just start cleaning what's on the inside first thing in the morning and just asking God's help that might bring you through the rest of the day that you might be able to dwell with God a little bit more. And sooner or later you'll find that 5 minutes turns to 10 minutes, and you might find that 10 minutes sooner or later turns to 20 minutes, and sooner or later that 20 minutes keeps growing and growing and growing, and sooner or later you're just walking in the Spirit. You ever seen that? I have. But how often do we forget? We're going to dwell in Bethel. We need to keep clean. That's not a one-time thing. God help us. Father, I thank you, dear Lord, tonight. I thank you for your word. Thank you for your help. I thank you for your strength. I pray, God, tonight that you might, Lord, instill some things, not only in my heart, those things which I've been studying on, but I pray, God, that it might be a help to those that are here. And I pray, God, you might help us, Lord, that we might dwell with thee. Help us that we might also, Lord, be mindful of thee. And I pray, God, you help us that we glorify you in what we say, what we do, that we might testify of you, not only in our daily walk, but in our lives, and that we might also, Lord, glorify you in our testimonies to other people and our conversations to other people. God, that you be magnified in our life. And Father, well, I certainly thank you again. May you have all honor and glory. And I pray, God, also, please, Lord, remember our pastor. Lord, I pray that you give him power. Lord, give him utterance, give him understanding. I pray, God, you give him, Lord, wisdom. And I pray, God, give him travel and mercy, Lord, as he comes home. And I pray, Father, Lord, that you might touch him and anoint him again, that he might preach to our hearts one more time. Father, I pray all these things, that you get honor and glory. And Father, we'll say thank you one more time, for it is in Jesus' name. Amen.